reading from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, and I'm going to share two verses with you today because our topic is about prayer and our kingdom identity. But this is Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." That's Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And jumping over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, finally Friday, October 13th, 2023. And today, joining me in the studio, besides our studio guests, is a guest fill-in, Mike Crosta. He serves at the Vineyard Church. He's part of their prayer ministry there, and he's a great part of our Audience of One, a gathering that will happen on November 11th. On Wednesday, we talked a little bit about it. It's a coming together of many people throughout our area that love the Lord to worship and to pray for our city and our community and our leaders. So that's all happening, and Mike has been a strategic part of that. In fact, for about a year now, he's been joining us for our twice-a-month gatherings here at the Great News Media Center, where we've been praying up this event and asking God to do some special work. Actually, Bill Erickson, who's also joining us, has been a part of most all those prayer times. And so we're anticipating God doing some new things and some great things. But Pastor Jason Schiffo's out of town, and I asked Mike, in light of the fact that he spoke at our recent ministry leaders luncheon last week, last Thursday, and he talked about the Audience of One, but he also talked about the kingdom identity that we need to embrace. And so, Mike, as a springboard into our discussion today, and I set some groundwork with Genesis 12:1 and Ephesians 2:9, but how about sharing with our listeners and our studio guests that kingdom identity that we should embrace and how that fits in well with our Audience of One gathering?
Yeah. Well, that scripture in Genesis, for a long time I would read that scripture and I would ask the question, why did God tell Abram to leave these three specific things? And wouldn't it have been easier if he would have just said, "Abram, leave your country and go to the land I will show you"? And I got to thinking about that, and one time I feel the Lord just gave me some understanding about that scripture. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household. And I realized, because I used to teach worldview, and so that's probably why I realized this, but I realized that those are the three most powerful shapers of worldview on the planet. All of us have been shaped. In fact, we got our worldview and our personal identity from those three places. You think about it. So your country, in this country, there are myths and traditions and practices that are distinctly American. They may not be kingdom, but they are American. And so these things have just been kind of bred into us. The rugged individualist, for example, the emphasis on rights and freedom and liberty, that's distinctly American. And likewise, in our people group, you know, the people we went to school with, the people we went to church with, those peoples also had beliefs and practices that formed and shaped us at an early age. And of course, we've all known how much we can be shaped in our father's household, for good or for ill. And so when God told Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household," in a way he was saying, "I want you to leave all of the ways your personal identity and worldview has been shaped in this country." And so he was giving him an invitation to step into a new market, a whole new identity and a whole new worldview. And so now you switch over to Ephesians 2:19 and you get this interesting counterpoint to Genesis 12:1. And I'm convinced that when Paul wrote Ephesians 2:19, I think he had Genesis 12:1 specifically in mind. And again, I'll read it. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens," so that's the negative thing that you're not anymore, and then he states the positive, "but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. That is, to me, a direct counterpoint to Genesis 12:1. And so citizens, for example, well, citizens is only a term that you use when you're talking about your country. And of course, what's the new country that we're all a part of? Well, it's the kingdom of God, isn't it? It's the kingdom of God. And we have a new people group, and we have a new father's household. So in a way, God is giving us a similar invitation that he gave to Abraham. He's calling us to step out of the ways we have been shaped and enter into a new identity, which, of course, we're calling our kingdom identity. We have a new identity in the kingdom of God, and we are with God's people, and we are in God's household. We are in a new father. In other words, we are being reparented by God in his household. All right, why is that important? Well, when God looks down at any city, any group of believers in any city, in this case, Champaign-Urbana, he does not see all of the divisions that we have put up there. He sees one people. This is an incredible, in my opinion, this is a radical, incredible belief. God sees one people, all right? And that identity transcends ethnic, national, and religious denominational barriers. That's our highest identity of all. We're the one people of God. Mm-hmm. Now, there are two other dimensions to this identity that I think are exciting to talk about and which are relevant to prayer, is what we're talking about. When we were born again, we had a huge identity change, as you guys know, at that time. We shifted from a sinner identity to identity of a saint. Now, that's critical. It's not that we sinned when we were before Christ. We were sinners. That was our very identity. But then we became saints. So when God looks at us, he does not see sinner anymore. Those sins, all of our sins were nailed to the cross. He sees righteousness. He sees a clean slate. He sees saints. And that's why you see so many letters in the New Testament to the saints of God at Ephesus or whatever.
And Mike, I know many times on Thursday nights, I'll have you reiterate this because that's an important element for all of us to take to heart. And Bill or any of you can jump in. But what I found, it liberated so many of us because you would say or set the groundwork, we don't come groveling. We don't come begging, crawling in like, might God answer us? How is he going to treat us? How is he going to respond to our requests? We're royalty. We have this new identity in Christ. And I think that was not only liberating, but it was helpful for all of us to recognize that God delights in us. He loves us through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the finished work, not anything we could have done.
Right.
But being mindful of that. And did that seem true for you, Bill, too, when Mike reiterates that and all of us go engage into a time of prayer?
Well, yes, I think of the scripture, it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives within me. That's our new identity. Christ is within us. And when God sees us, he sees his Son living within us.
Yeah, I want to pick up on that other identity you just mentioned. So we are the one people of God. We are now considered saints. But you mentioned the word royalty. We have been born into a royal household. Now, this is really important because, as you said, Mark, the way we approach God and what we're thinking about ourselves as we approach God really makes a huge difference. We're not beggars. We're not orphans. We're not these dirty little sinners. We don't have to hang on God and hope and hope and hope. No. Instead, why not approach God from the standpoint of the truth? Christ lives in us, as Bill said. We're royalty, we're in a royal family, we're saints, and we're the one people of God. What if we started to believe that? And from that stance, began to pray? You know what I think? I think we'd see a lot more answers to prayer. Because if you think about it, now think about this. When we pray in that other dimension, with that other mindset and belief about ourselves, in a way, I think we're really praying from a point of unbelief. Now just think about that for a second. I never see answers to prayer. Well, could it be that you're approaching God in the wrong way and that what you're believing about yourself is actually not true at all? Could that be the reason? I don't know. I'm just speculating. But those three identities are crucial. And so what we want to do, and you mentioned audience of one, Mark, What if we were to harness the power of the one people of God in Champaign-Urbana? And they all came together, and we all embraced the fact that we're saints, we're royalty, and we're the one people. We embraced that, and then we prayed in one accord for whatever we want to pray for in our city. Do you know what's going to happen? What do y'all think is going to happen?
The Lord would take over. Mm-hmm. He would answer those prayers. But they would be answered in His ways that would agree with the way He sees things and what He wants us to be doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think what's key also is you talked about when you're one people, the denominational barriers break down, all of the things that hinder us from being united break down because we're one people. And that's part of the goal when we meet on November 11th is to be one people of God yep. with Jesus Christ in common.
Yeah, and praying in one accord. And that's another dimension we could talk about some other time. And I mentioned to the pastors, Mark, there is a story in Daniel. Where Daniel, one guy, is praying. You might remember it's in Daniel 10. And he's praying, and as soon as he starts to pray, God dispatches Gabriel to go down and answer his prayers. But on the way, Gabriel gets hung up and detained by the spiritual power over the country of Persia. And so they fight. How long is Daniel praying? 3 weeks. How long do they fight in the heavenly realms? 21 days. And because this one man is persisting in prayer for 21 days, that causes a breakthrough in heaven. Michael is dispatched to help Gabriel. They push that entity aside, and Gabriel's allowed to come down. So this excites me to no end. What would happen if a couple of hundred believers in their kingdom identity, saints, royalty, one people of God, prayed in one accord for something in our cities? What would happen to the spiritual climate over this region? Just like you said, Elmer, it would absolutely wreck the spiritual climate over this region.
And to bring all those different denominations, yeah. people with different life experiences, different ages yeah. and preferences and such, if they came and united what we have in common, the Lord Jesus Christ, as you have said before, God would certainly smile upon this occasion, this gathering.
Yeah, and you know, Mark, when I pray now, I mean, I used to pray beggar prayers, but when I pray now, I don't pray begging. I'm never begging God. I'm never, please, pretty, please. I'm never doing that anymore. I am talking to my Father. He is my Father. He's the King. And I am addressing him as a prince in his family. And I'm, Father, Dad, we need this. We need this. And so that's my stance. And I want to encourage you to really think about that. You know, God has, how do I say this? We kind of think we can approach God sort of any way we want to. But you know, in Scripture, there are ways he's prescribed that we approach him. And it's with honor, basically, if you want to boil it down, is we come not, we've said this before, we don't come with our petition list first. And that's not what we're going to do for audience of one. Oh, we need this, we need that. No. We're going to come first, and we're going to honor God. Mm-hmm. And we're going to honor his presence and magnify his name and give him our affections. And then from that posture, then we're going to ask him to bless our city. That's a totally different way of praying. I guarantee you, we will see answers to that prayer, and these cities are going to change.
And we've modeled that on the first and third yeah. Thursdays here, yeah. where before we do anything, there's a time of worship,
yes.
of praise, of just recognizing what a great God he is. And then we have some petitions, but it's always going into it after we've praised him, we've worshiped him,
honored
we've
him.
Celebrated
yeah.
and honored, yes.
Yeah, you know, you're a very big fan of the Lord's Prayer, Mark. And so I often say, hallowed be thy name mm-hmm. comes before give us our daily bread mm-hmm. for a reason. Yeah. Honor God's presence first, then bring in your needs. And that's the way to do it. And you're going to see answers to prayer. And by the way, if there are two or more mm-hmm. for audience of one, it's a victory.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
For where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the midst.
He's there.
Yeah.
So if there are two or more there, and it's just you and me, Mark and Bill, then we have got a deal.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
the presence of God will come, and he will start doing what he wants. You know, that's the other thing. God has a vision for this area. God has an intention, a plan, a purpose, but it takes the united people of God working with him to achieve it. And don't you want to know what that is? Mm. I mean, don't you want to know what is his vision for this area? And we're a part of that. Well, we can be if we come together as one people.
And you had mentioned some weeks ago that you knew of one other group that has been praying for this area for about a couple years.
2 years.
We have been gathering for about a year now.
Yeah.
And what might God do as we've undergirded this? This isn't just thrown together.
That's
this
right.
has been a year
so
in
important.
The plus in planning. And so on November 11th, listening friend, and I'm going to have Jeff Goldberg on in the future to also talk
Good.
About his behind-the-scenes work and pulling it all together. But put it on your calendar, November 11th. That's 4 weeks, and it's going to be held at the Virginia Theater, 7 p.m. That's basically about 7 to 9, and it'll include times of worship, times of petitioning God, and some people on stage that'll facilitate the prayer. And there will be times where in a smaller group you'll cluster and pray.
Yeah.
Over a
yes.
certain subject or topic.
Yes, absolutely. And I've been a part of a lot of events before. I've never been a part of an event ever that has had so much prayer behind it. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen. It's going to be great. It's really going to be great.
Hey, Janine, or any of you jump in, but when Mike talked about kingdom identity, and we looked at Ephesians 2, but there's many great verses, but being members of God's household, what do you take to heart when you hear that our identity is in Christ? Any thoughts?
Well, I've always thought about the Abba, Father, and being a child of God.
Yeah.
So I usually have that kind of mental perception of being just so thankful for everything, and that he even allowed me to be born and live in this age and time. But I hadn't thought of the kingdom part, you know, where you're actually part of a royal family. That's a new idea.
Amen.
And that Abba term is that endearing
father-daddy.
It's very intimate and close. And
yeah.
listening friend, maybe you've never looked at God. And we don't want to ever cheapen or lessen. Yeah. I mean, he's sovereign, he's holy, he's righteous, he's immutable. Awesome is not a good enough word to talk about God. And yet, he is approachable and caring and full of compassion. And he loves you, and he's the perfect father image.
Personal. He's a personal God as well. And yeah, we never want to be casual with him. Bill, you had a comment?
Well, yeah. You know, when we think about who we are in Christ, in the Great Commission, Jesus said, "All authority has been granted unto me." If he lives within us, we have been deputized by that statement.
Mm, yeah.
And we are to represent him in that way because he lives within us.
That's right. And we're supposed to do greater things too, right?
Absolutely.
Also says, so what could those greater things be? We'll see.
Mm. Well, listening friends, you're going to hear a lot more about it in the following 4 weeks, but on Saturday night, November 11th at the Virginia Theater in Champaign, downtown Champaign, 203 West Park Avenue, we'll be gathering audience of one coming together to worship the Lord and pray for our cities. That'll include, obviously, the greater Champaign-Urbana area, but we've had lots of folks coming in here on our first and third Thursday nights from Mahomet and Rantoul and Tolono and Tuscola and different towns, and we certainly want to get people from Springfield, from Bloomington, Decatur, Danville. Come on out. Join us. This is a special gathering of followers of Jesus to come together to worship the Lord and to pray. And so
it's free, too.
Yeah, totally free. There won't be an offering,
and
it's going to be a nice program. We'll have, I think, the lyrics of some of the songs and hymns we'll be singing on a screen, so it's participatory, and your prayers will make a difference, and we want to see what God will do when we unite as one, as followers of his, and we celebrate the royalty, the priesthood that we all enjoy as followers of Jesus, so let a friend know and be listening, because we'll be saying a lot more about that in the days ahead. And maybe, Mike, in closing out our few minutes here, you can pray for our listeners, pray for those that maybe haven't even begun a faith journey yet.
Yeah.
They don't realize that God loves them and has created them for a purpose.
Amen. Let's do that. So, Father, we do ask together that you would reveal yourself to those who do not know you. Father, would you revise their understanding of who you are? Would you change their personal worldview, Father? And would you help them to see the incredible calling that you have for all of us? And Father, we also pray for the believers across the listening area. Father, we ask that you pour out your Spirit on them, that you motivate them, gather them together. And Lord, may they pray in their cities, for their cities as well. And Lord, let there be a revival across this state and across this land, because your faithful people are praying in unity for the things that are on your heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Well, listening friend, I hope you'll put it on your calendar, your day timer, your computer, whatever is a reminder for you to come join us on Saturday night, 7 p.m. at the Virginia Theater on November 11th, 4 weeks away. It's the Audience of One coming together to worship the Lord and pray for our cities. I think we're over 30 churches involved, and many ministries are helping us get the word out. So tell a friend, pack up your family, your neighbors, your colleagues, and join us on Saturday night, November 11th at the Virginia Theater. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Mike Crosta, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.
We are royalty. God created us.